Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, why don't you open it to 2 Kings chapter 5. It'll be on the screen as well, but I'm going to start this message about Naaman this morning. Naaman is one of my, I really enjoy this story in the Bible. So Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 says this. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but, everyone say but a leper. In the first verse here, we enter the main character in the story in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman. It's all this praise. It's the commander of the army of Syria, an honorable, victorious, mighty man of valor, but a leper. I think we all have buts. Turn to the person beside. No, don't do that. That'd be awkward. You see, Naaman in this story had all this praise, all this adoration for him in Scripture, but he had some issues. I think today, if we're honest with ourselves, we all have some issues. Naaman's issue was simply visible and physical. In Israel, leprosy in Naaman's day made that person unclean, really giving them two options. Option number one, to live outside of community and outside of society, be unclean, outsider. Or the second option, to cover it up, to not show anyone and try to blend in and try to sort of fit into community. I think this is our same choices that we have today. I think we all have some conditions or some issues in our life. I know it's not you, it's the person beside you, but we all have something going on in our lives that we can either remove ourselves from society because we don't know how to deal with this, or number two, we cover it up and hide and try and blend in like everything is okay. Many authors that I've been reading recently, they call this hidden issues, they call them things like our shadow self. That part of our personality or our person that we try to hide. Other author calls it the self-promoting evil in all of us. Another author wrote our dark side. Another one, the conditions of our soul. I think we all have these issues that hinder us from living our best life in community with God and people. Which leads me, as I read this story and I interpret it like this, which leads me to the obvious question, well, Caleb or Slats, what's yours then? Ever read the Bible and it reads you? Ever had that experience? It's like, no, God, this is for everyone else. And then it's like, oh, actually, this is for you as well. And it's like, oh, got to eat your humble pie and continue reading the Bible as it reads you. The obvious question is, what are my conditions? What are the things in my life? If I want to be a great person for God, like Naaman as was for the commander of the army of Syria, if I want to be something great for God, what are the conditions that are holding me back? Some of them that we have to battle in our personal selves are things like pride, lust, anger, arrogance, selfishness, greed, inferiority, insecurity, anxiety, depression. Conditions of the soul are near impossible to fix on our own. Have you experienced that? Spoiler alert. At the end of the story that we're about to read here in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman gets healed. Spoiler alert, sorry to ruin the plot on you there. But Naaman's first step on the road to his healing was that he had to identify the issue. Ever had someone with those, I know it wouldn't be you, it'd be the person beside you once again, but with those blind spots? And it's like everyone knows they have an issue except for that person? Remember when Jesus spoke about this? He said, hey, stop worrying about the speck in your brother's eye and deal with the log in your own eye. I think there's a time in our Christianity and our walk in faith where we need to mature, and mature people have to do hard work. It's like my kids. They think their life is hard. Like, dude, any parents in the room? It's like, life is so hard because I have to save up all my money and not spend it to buy NRL trading cards. I'm like, try paying bills, you know? Try paying a mortgage, you know? What am I saying? Off topic. Hey, we need to identify the issues. As we mature in our faith, there comes a depth in us where, hey, I'm not okay just picking and pointing out the problems in other people's life. God, I want you to do something fresh in me. I don't want anything to stop me or to hinder me from experiencing your presence. I want that childlike faith that Brendan spoke about around communion. I want that moment where, God, it's you and me and the world is good. So we need to, number one, identify our issues. There are conditions of the soul that we all need to admit and admit that in and of ourselves, we are powerless to overcome them. Let's read on, 2 Kings 5, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. So she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, that's Naaman, if only Naaman was with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. So here we enter a next character in the story. We have a young, unnamed slave girl. That as the Syrians raided Israel, they took this young girl as a slave, and she was a slave in Naaman's house to Naaman's wife. And she says, hey, wait a minute, Naaman. If only you knew that there was a prophet in Israel, if only you knew that there was a God in Israel that could heal you of your condition. Someone needs to hear this morning that there is a God who is alive and active that wants to heal us of our conditions. Are we in a state where we're covering up and pretending like it doesn't happen, or are we in a state where we open up and say, hey, God, if you can use me, use me. God, do a work in my life afresh. God, take the little that I have and do something with it. In unfavorable circumstances, this girl spoke faith. Do you know what your job is? Do you know what my job is? In unfavorable circumstances, to continue to speak faith. If I was a slave to someone that had captured me, that had raided my city and taken me as a slave, do you think I would want something better for them? No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, yeah, you deserve that leprosy, Naaman, because you stole me from my people. I'm a slave every day doing this. No, but she didn't say that. She wanted not only good for herself, but she wanted good for others as well. And she said, hey, there's a God in Israel that can do this. She didn't lose her trust in God, in the goodness of God, despite her circumstance. Someone this morning needs to pick up their faith again, because circumstance has caused you to question the goodness of God. Circumstance has caused us to question, does God care? Is God really in this situation? Can I encourage you? God is everywhere. He cannot help but be in the midst of your situation. This girl also had a heart for others, even her captives, even her enemies. This has really been challenging me at the moment, and this is a side digression, I know, but bear with me. The enemy love, this theme of enemy love is woven all through Scripture. It's interesting, isn't it? I think we've sort of grown up, we grow up to taught, okay, we'll love those that are like us, we'll love those that are our neighbors, but the Bible goes one step further and makes the enemies our neighbors and calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Enemy love. She loved her enemies, her captives, that much that she wanted to see Naaman's situation change. Let's read on 5, verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus, everyone say thus and thus. Good conversation. Said the girl who was in the land of Israel. Verse 5, then the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 change of clothing. Naaman understood the authority and took his request to the king. The king of Syria, he writes this letter down to the king of Israel, telling them, imploring that the king of Israel needs to make sure that Naaman gets healed. No pressure, king of Israel. What a situation. And he took some presents with him. That's about equivalent to 340 kilos of silver, 10 kilos of gold, 10 sets of clothes. Who needs a new wardrobe? Yeah, some people are more excited about 10 sets of clothes than I'll take the 750 kilos of gold. I haven't done the calculations as to whether the gold would be better than silver, but I could work that out. Then he takes this letter and he goes to Israel with this letter in verse 6. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read this letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. The king's ripping of his clothes is a symbol of grief. We see things like this throughout the Bible. It's this torment. It's an outward example of an inward torment, fearing that this was a declaration of war, thinking that this is a setup, that these Syrians are trying to trick me into something, and if I don't do the decree of their king, then it is on. It is war about to break out. Too many times in my life, I find my first response despair. How about you? When I hear that noise or that situation or that circumstance, too many times in my life, my first response is one of despair. I slip into anxious thoughts. I rewind every conversation I've ever had with that person in my life. Ever been there? I lose sleep. I redo everything and I get stuck in this situation of despair, thinking the worst. The sleepless nights, working out every scenario. The king was blind to God's power at work in Elisha. When we find ourselves replaying those scenarios, when we find ourselves first responses to despair, we're actually in a moment where we're not acknowledging the power of God. We're not allowing the goodness of God to overwhelm our minds and our thoughts. There is a king in Israel. This is the king of Israel. Israel literally means God preserves. So we have the king of Israel, God's people, the king of God the king of God preserves, and he's fearful at the first act of this letter. His first response is one of fear that this is going to end badly. Just like us, if he was the king of Israel, we are Christians, which means that Christ is in us and we are like him. So our nature should be like his. We are called believers, therefore that means we should. If we are believers, that means we should? Believe. My first response is often doubt. My first response is often despair. My first response is often anxiety, yet we have a choice to be believers. To say, hey God, I'm not only going to believe you when things are good. I'm not only going to pray or seek you when I need something, but God, I'm going to live in such a way that I'm going to have faith for the small, faith for the big. I'm going to live in a position of faith. Let's read on. The story gets better. Verse 8. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. I love Elisha's response to this news. Why have you torn your clothes? In effect saying, why the despair? Have you forgotten God? King of God preserves. Have you forgotten God? So many times in my life, I feel like sometimes my life is on repeat. Ever experienced that? It's like the Israelites in the wilderness. It's like I overcome one challenge, and then what do we find? Another challenge. And really, we should go, wow, God, if you come through last time, then you can bring through me through this time. But we don't. We go, oh, God, I'm in a challenge again. All it is challenge after challenge after challenge, when we could use those challenges and those past experiences to increase our faith and go, God, what? You did it last time, man. I got faith that you can do it this time. God, you did it for that person. You can do it for me. God, you came through in Scripture. That means that you can come through in my life today. We should be encouraged that our God is able. The role of the Old Testament prophets was to represent God to the people. So going to Elisha was almost like a picture of going to God in 2 Kings chapter 5. Which leads me to number 2. We need to believe that God is able. Believe that God is able. Many of us have had circumstances that haven't gone to plan, and we have left ourselves questioning, maybe God's not able. Maybe God doesn't want to. Maybe we're in this situation. Can I encourage you? He is able. He is able. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able. Now to him who is able. It could stop there, and that would be a great verse, but it doesn't. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, hope, imagine, dream, according to his power that's at work within someone else. His power that's at work within Elisha or the other legends. No, his power that's at work within me. So God, if you are able to do everything, and I believe that you're able to do it, and your power is at work in me, why the despair? Why the worry? Why the stress that we go through life with? If we believe that God was able, it would change our lives. It would transform the way that we think. Verse 9 goes on, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman was ticked because things didn't go to plan. I think it's a bit of a mix of arrogance that he expected this man to come meet him face to face. Maybe when he expected it to go a certain way and it didn't, maybe there was a disappointment. Have you ever been in that situation when you come to the front in an altar in church and the guest speaker doesn't pray for you? And you're like, oh no, God can't move in my situation then. We leave disappointed because it didn't turn out the way that we thought. We didn't get that prophetic word. We didn't get that instant miracle. He came to meet Elisha, and instead Elisha sends his servant with instructions. This exposes his pride. It exposes his need to want to meet the God face to face, and also to be seen as an equal. Naaman expected the fanfare. He expected that Hollywood miracle, that cinematic miracle, you know, that he would wave his hand over and it would magically happen. Elisha would do this, but it didn't happen like that. If I'm honest, many times, I've wanted God to come through like this. Have you? That instant breakthrough, that now miracle. Disclaimer, I've seen God do the instant miracles. I've seen him do things instantly like that. I saw a couple of sneaky little miracles in India a couple of weeks ago, and it encouraged my faith to no end. But you know what? I've also seen him do a process of work in people's lives as well. And we are not responsible, and we don't know why he does which one in which situation, but my disposition is one of trust in you, God. God, if you do it instantly, amen. If you take me on a journey, okay, I'm in. Elisha gave Naaman a process, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he complains about this. He doesn't stop. He goes on to say, are not the Abana and the, Pharpar, I don't know how to say that, rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not go and wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Naaman was still frustrated. He was pretty much saying, I could come up with a better plan than you, God, in this situation. None of us have ever been there before, have we? Verse 13, and his servants came and spoke some wisdom to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? So many times in my life, I've found, hey, God, call me to something big and I'll do it. But it's like that simple obedience where he just wants me to do the little. I had a situation, when was that? This week. I was really frustrated about a situation that I was dealing with, and I was struggling a bit in my own mind, and I was way too much in my head. And I'm like, Kim, I got to go for a drive. I just need to get out of here. So I go for a drive, you know, and I end up grabbing some groceries or whatever. And on the way to the shop, I saw a guy walking with 2 grocery bags. I'm like, okay, whatever. I live at Jacob's Well, and I was coming to Pimp City Shopping Center, as I know you all go there because I see you all there all the time. And he was walking out somewhere towards Jacob's Well with 2 bags of groceries. I'm like, that's weird. doing my little groceries, and I'm still ticked, by the way, right now. I'm driving back past him, this guy's walking, I'm like, good, he can walk, you know? And it's like, you know that moment in your spirit and your heart, and God's like, pick him up, Caleb. I'm like, no, God, I'm ticked at you, I'm not picking this guy up. And then he's like, pick him up, give him a lift. I'm like, I'm not giving him a lift, you know? So I drive past, you know, and then it's like, you know that feeling, it's like, oh no, I don't want to, God. So I do a U-turn and I pick him up, and we just had the incredibleest God chat. Like, this young man was so open to what God was doing, and like, he was just so, like, it was a God moment. I gave him a number and all this sort of stuff, and afterwards he texted me, he's like, as soon as I got out of the car, Caleb, I just started crying, like something happened in me, and I'm like, this is awesome. And as I was sort of driving home from there, it was a bit of a detour too, by the way, but as I got home from there, I was driving on my way home, sorry, and the Holy Spirit just spoke something in my heart, and he's like, Caleb, just love the ones that I bring across your path. Just minister to the ones that I bring across your path. And it was like all this worry about this external things that I couldn't change. God had a different plan, and it was my obedience to pick up someone walking on the side of the road that set me up that I could hear from God and that I could go home encouraged. It wasn't the angry music I had playing in the car. No, it was the Holy Spirit took me on a journey, and I saw the goodness of God at work in my life this week. Why do I say that? I say sometimes it's a process. Sometimes we want the instant miraculous, but sometimes it's just simple obedience that brings about a breakthrough in God. Sometimes it's simple obedience that brings about that word from the Lord and that encouragement that we all need. Back into verse 13, he says, if the prophet had asked you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? If I knew this week that the encouragement of God would have come from me picking up someone on the side of the road, I'd be looking. I'll give everyone a lift. God, if you're going to encourage me through that, I'll lift the people that are very generous and park down the bottom on our hill and walk up here. I'll just do rounds all day Sunday, God, and you can just keep giving me words. If we knew the encouragement of God, wouldn't we, if I knew it was on the other side of that, wouldn't we just do it? See, sometimes we want the big show. Can I encourage us? Let's be Christians that just do the small, simple, faithful steps for God. Number three is simply trust the process. Naaman's servant in humility. He said, hey, if he asked you to do something great, you'd do it because you like being the hero, Naaman. But what if God didn't need you to be the hero this time? What if he simply needed you to wash? Too many of us are waiting for the hero moments, the hall of faith moments, the big event, the heroic deed for God. But what if he's calling us to simply be obedient to what he says? In verse 14, it says, this is Naaman. So he went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he was clean. 7 times is interesting because it's fulfilling the law. In Leviticus 14:7, if you have that, Jeff, if you could put it up, it says this, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him to be cleansed of leprosy. Which is interesting that in this moment, God was doing a work in Naaman that was fulfilling the law in Leviticus. It was pretty cool, pretty special moment. But then why the Jordan? You see, the Jordan River comes up in the Bible a lot of times, doesn't it? To me, the Jordan River, it represents transition. The greatest story that I love is the story of Joshua. Remember when you stand on the banks of the Jordan? They've come out of Egypt. Moses has led them out of Egypt, out of slavery. They've been around the wilderness for a long time, and they're on the banks of the Jordan, and on the other side of the Jordan is the promise. The Jordan is a place of transition, out of bondage and stepping into the freedom that God has for us. What if we needed to wash in this river of God, and on the other side was the promise? We could have our slavery to sin, we could have our bondage, we could have our wilderness experiences on one side, or we could step through and be washed in the presence of God, and on the other side, we could step into the fullness that He has for us. Too many times in my life, I find myself still on the banks of the Jordan, on the wrong side of the bank. Also, I believe this is a prophetic picture, this river, of the things to come. You see, there was a man born in Bethlehem. As a toddler, he escaped to Egypt to escape the wrath of an angry king, really. Then he moved back to Nazareth and kind of grew up there. Then one day, after getting a few disciples or a few followers to follow him, he went down to the Jordan and saw John down there, this weird guy wearing camel skin. And he's like, hey, you need to baptize me. And John's like, no, I'm not worthy, Jesus. You need to baptize me, cuz. And then Jesus goes in and he's like, no, it's right, because this fulfills scripture. And he was baptized in the Jordan, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And those words, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know that this Jordan that Naaman washed himself in was a prophetic picture that he was washing himself in the baptism of Jesus and not even knowing it? We need to be people that wash ourselves in the baptism of Jesus, washing in the healing power of the cross, washing in the death of sin, washing in the death of the sickness and the shame, washing in the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of Naaman and us. What if he's calling us to simply wash, to remove the cover-ups, to remove the things that we try to put on a facade, to remove the facades, to remove the mask and wash afresh in the presence of God? My prayer is that this message would be a fresh reminder of our need to wash. 7 is also the number of completion. When is washing complete? At the moment, Kim and I have a black car. Worst decision of our lives. Who else has a black car? I got the kids out there last weekend. Like, let's wash the car. This would be great. Chala Bagundi, as they say in India. It's Telugu for very good. Looked good for about one day. Then I got kids' handprints. I got dust. So I'm like, oh man, I got to wash the car again. It's like black cars, I need to wash it every single day. What am I saying? I'm saying if 7 is the number of completion and he had to wash until he was completely clean, how many times do we need to wash? 7 or forever? Forever. So we need to be a people that would forever wash ourselves in the presence of God, wash ourselves in the grace of God, come in afresh and go, hey God, my thinking's a bit out this week. I just need to wash in your presence afresh. God, I'm carrying this. I need you to wash that off me again. God, I'm slipping back into this old way of living. God, wash that away and we would be free, because whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Naaman's skin became like a child's skin. I love this because it ties in exactly with what Brendan was saying. The goal of our life, Jesus preached this, is that we would get back to a place of childlike faith. Childlike faith believes a few simple things. You want to know what it believes? I'm good. The world's good. And life is good. It's not a struggle or a strive for a young person, especially not in our homes. No, it's a blessing. It's a privileged position because we know that our parents provide everything that we need. We don't need to worry. We don't need to fear because we have parents that love us. Can I encourage us? If we're called to have childlike faith and we have a God that loves us so much and that provides all that we need, fear would be washed off instantly. Depression? Gone in Jesus' name. This is the goal, that God is good, that the earth is beautiful, and he has given this life for me to enjoy. There is a fresh wash for you today. I believe that some people this morning, right now, you're just going to receive joy right now. Just receive joy. Like, because I've learned that joy is not dictated by my circumstances. God, I just pray, Lord, that you just touch your people with their joy right now. That the joy of the Lord would be their strength. Someone just needs to receive the peace of God right now. The Bible calls this the peace of God, the peace that surpasses understanding. It means, God, I don't know why, because my situation is still the same, but I've just got a peace come over me right now. I've got a peace that I know that you're going to do something through my life. I've got a peace knowing that you've got my future in your hands. Someone needs to receive hope this morning. Let's say, hey, God, I walked in hopeless. But you're going to leave with hope. Kind of, God, if you brought me to this work that you started in my life, I believe you're going to complete it. In Jesus.
We hope you love that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.